Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Welcome, welcome one and all to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. This is the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. And we are live this week. If you're listening to it recorded, just know that it was recorded live before an audience of sorts. And with me, as always, as I fade this Rammstein out professionally, Shawnee Murphy. Shawnee Murphy, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
Is that better?
Hey. Whoa.
I'm trying to figure out how I can lead out of the intro. Just last week it was all lame.
Yeah. It was a little bit.
I don't know how to do it. I realize that. I have no freaking clue how to come off the intro.
It was lackluster. I mean, I don't really help you. I don't help you with it. I just kind of say, "John, remember what's going on about it?" And then you're on. And that's it. That's your cue.
I mean, what do you say to that? I mean, I have no preparation in my entire life.
You know what? I would like you
to be ready for how to deal with an introduction.
I'd like you to just completely drag everybody into the doldrums and just share the saddest moment of your life. Sure, what's going on? Well, when I was 8, my penis had a bruise on it that I couldn't explain. When I was 7, I actually bled from my testicles. I don't know why. Well, okay, great. So let's talk about feces. So Jay Mitch can get the clock going and everything can be great.
Well, actually, the good intros were like when I was like, I found out my neighbors were black.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Things like that. I need to be able to segue into something like completely random and offbeat like that.
I think the reason I enjoy those types of intros and just hopping right in is because it's almost like that's been eating at you for 7 days. And you just had to let the lid off.
Gotta
it.
Gotta let it go.
And just fucking go. Just escape your brain, put it out there, and see what everybody else thinks. I have a ritual. Every time before the show, I go and get some snacks and caffeine. And typically, you know, before I would go to Starbucks, I'd go to Quick Check. And lately it's been Rite Aid because it's on the way home. I can get a caffeinated beverage and get some beef jerky or whatever nitrate-filled little piece of fucking meat snack I can eventually die from. I go there, and tonight was a little odd at Rite Aid. It's never like a bastion of friendliness when you go in there. It's not like they welcome you with open arms and are glad that you show up. But tonight was a little bit different. I got my shit. It's not, and also, it's not as though I haven't seen these people before. Let me just preface everything with that. I go and get my shit. I go to the counter, and I notice that there's two cashiers. One is on a stool with his feet on the fucking counter, and he's reading one of the magazines from the rack in front of his register.
That's what you want to see when you're at a pharmacy.
Yeah.
Some guy just throwing his feet right up on the counter.
His feet. Just shoes. And the treads weren't clean. It's not like a Fat Joe sneaker that you could lick the bottom of. Just to show he's never worn it before. He's got all shit in the treads. Have to clean it out with a stick. And the other cashier is leaning on the counter with her head in her hands, and her other hand is holding a portable phone from like 93 to her head, and she's engaged in a conversation in a some kind of a tongue I've never heard before, except in like when anybody does the impression of someone from the Caribbean. Just nonstop. I'm there. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? So I kind of make eye contact. I point with my hand. I'm like, where do I go?
Where do I go? You're doing the thing like, you know, who's going to take care of me? And I'm sure they were both leaping up to help you out.
The guy didn't even look at me. He had his fucking feet up. He was enjoying some good leg circulation. He didn't give a fuck about me. So, but the lady on the phone, the courteous woman, speaking Haitian or whatever language she's speaking to someone in whatever country on company time. Because, you know, it's not a cell phone she's on. And you can't exactly bring your own fucking handset from home unless she lives above Rite Aid. Maybe it's my bad for prejudging. Maybe she has a little fucking pup tent on top of Rite Aid with a phone hookup. But if not, and the more likely situation is that she's using her employer's phone to speak to Haiti. She waves me on, and I put my items on the counter, and she starts to scan them. But I had to get information. I had to tell her something. I needed to interact with the cashier. Something I really don't enjoy. Okay? I noticed that the beef jerky had a little sticker next to the rack that said,
trying to get a discount on beef jerky.
Listen, when you're talking about a $6.50 bag of beef jerky and it says buy one get one free.
Oh, hey, that's pretty good.
If you have the wellness card. I didn't have a wellness card.
You know, you should not be able to use a wellness card for beef jerky.
That's a fucking incredible point.
That is fucking bullshit.
You know all this shit you can buy at a Rite Aid and get cheaper because you have a fucking wellness card? You can buy fucking butter logs. Nestle's butter logs. Red soda. Soda that is colored red and the flavor is red.
Red. I love red flavor.
It's called red.
Shouldn't be able to get a wellness card. They got to come up with a different term for that card.
There is nothing that will make you well that has to do with a red flavor. And beef jerky, you're right. Not necessarily the snack of somebody trying to live well. However, if you had a wellness card, you can get buy one, get one. Okay? I know Amanda did. And I know that I've heard her not carry the card and give her phone number to get credit for one. So I said to the woman, hey, can I don't have my wellness card. She's like, I don't have one either. I go, okay, great.
Why that was, though? A lot of times the cashier will scan their thing.
Yeah.
There's like rewards points or whatever they get from that. So then you get the discount. It's like a win-win situation.
Yeah, but like after she said I don't have one either, she like put her eyes back down. Like she was never looking at me. I wasn't there. Like she would just go and reach for my items and not like engage me. Like I may as well have not been there. Like, you know, when if you've ever worked at a store and you do a job that you can do with your fucking eyes closed, you just do it and maybe like live in some other world where like if you're doing inventory, you just count in your head and you're not even thinking about it. You just fucking do it and then you mark 10 down and then hours fly by and you have no idea what you've done. That's what she was doing with ringing me up.
But managing to like, you know, during conversation.
Yeah.
Like completely like spacing out.
I don't have a card.
Sounds like you're mixing like a Caribbean accent.
I don't know what
the
fuck.
With a Swedish chef.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. It was some tongue that I've never been able to understand or duplicate. I just know that it was foreign. It wasn't fucking English, okay? And I'm not... Hey, listen. I'm not criticizing the woman for speaking in whatever language she's comfortable with. That's perfectly fine. But I don't know. Maybe when you're wearing the glorious uniform of the Rite Aid apron, you should show a little decorum. And look your goddamn customers in the eye. And yeah, be ready to deal with them.
It's kind of amazing, and I know we usually don't go up on tangents like this, but right now the U.S. economy is like the worst it's ever been.
Yeah.
You know, since the 1930s. Meanwhile, people like this dimwit can still get a fucking job.
Yeah.
And no one cares. Like, there's people that will kill themselves for a job right now.
Yeah, there are people that are actually looking for Rite Aid jobs that have been refused that are irate to hear that there are Rite Aid employees that can basically sleep and ring up gum for people. And then hand ribbons of receipts.
Well, this goes to show how bad most of the workforce is, that this woman is preferable to the 20% of unemployed people.
Yeah.
They would rather this woman than... So what's that got to come up to? Like 50 million people that are out of work right now? That woman is better than 50 million other people. That's how bad the U.S. workforce is.
Jesus. So I eventually let her know, like, no, can you look it up with my number? And she's like, okay, back to the conversation. Like, just What's the number? What's the number? Whatever. Okay? I understand I don't do it well. Get me a Haitian and just have them speak in whatever they speak. I don't fucking know. I didn't understand. But so I read the number to her in the classic phone number cadence. And then, like, slow. And she goes, 8-4 what? 8-4 what? And I'm like, I don't think there's an 8-4 in succession in the number. I don't think she's even paying attention to me. So I said, hey. I got her fucking eyes locked, and I just spoke the number in, like, one number after the other. Not the typical, you know, how the rhythm you give to reading a number. Not
yeah,
that,
it's normally
one
go,
number
Eric,
at a time.
Gonna, you know, 973.
It was kind of like I'm commanding you to just, as I say it, you press it.
It's like you're talking to a deaf person.
Nine, and then not say anything until she hits the nine. Oh, and then that's it. And so I get the fucking deal. And like, she hands me this receipt that's 3 feet long. And I understand they have fucking long receipts. You know, it's nothing new. But she turns her fucking back. So I feel like I'm the biggest interruption in this woman's life ever.
Oh, clearly you are. You interrupted her phone call.
Well,
I mean, you're basically a rude prick. You couldn't have waited until she was done.
You know what? I'm ranting about this, but like, there's some shit going on in Haiti. Maybe there's like a fucking like some war. Where,
there was
where
just,
like her house was like fucking bombed or something.
Well, they had the earthquake like, you know, 3 months ago, and they just had a near miss from a tropical storm or a hurricane.
Yeah,
like where all these like, there's like a million people living in tents.
Yeah,
and there was like very close to a hurricane, completely, you know, just drowning those people.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really even think about like the scenario where it might be like.
But where
her family in Haiti has like 30 seconds every month to fucking speak on the phone, and her boss is such a dick that she's like, well, you can talk, but you're going to work. You're going to work.
No, but think about it in this context. If that actually is the situation, what about Mr. Foot on the Counter guy that refused to actually let her be on the phone during that situation?
I guarantee you the guy reading about Christina Aguilera's latest exploits doesn't really even know what Haiti is.
The average Rite Aid employee knows where Haiti is.
Oh, I'm sure most of them are from there, but the ones that aren't probably don't. I'm going to say that every Rite Aid cashier that I've met that speaks English, I don't know. They don't seem very bright. This really makes me sound like an asshole, doesn't it? And I guess it's just because I had a bad experience maybe with this, that I'm saying this, but it seems like every time I go there, I have a bad experience. I've never walked away from a fucking Rite Aid saying, you know, man, that's how an operation should be run.
Yeah, but like, at what percentage of retail instances do you actually feel like, you know, you really got, you know, a good service?
You
don't.
I'll tell you something. If Chick-fil-A can qualify in that vein.
Okay, it does.
Best I've ever been a part of as a customer. I walk in there and I genuinely feel like I'm not a nuisance. They actually say, it's my pleasure. I know it's not.
Yeah,
they say that without reservation.
I'm surprised Chick-fil-A doesn't say something like, may God be with you.
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe that's part of it.
They are some thumpers there, so maybe you that's how they only hire fellow thumpers.
Yeah, they thump out a good fucking piece of chicken. How about that? That's all I give a shit about.
You know, I've had some fucked up experiences recently with retail too. I just realized, you know, as you started talking about it, I went to the liquor store a couple days ago.
Okay.
And I go up to pay, and normally, you know, there's initial interaction of some sort, like hello, how are you tonight, or I say hi, or the guy, I go to, you know, I bring my beer up on the counter, and he looks like directly through me and starts having a conversation with one of the stock girls that's like all the way down the other end of the aisle, staring right through me. Like, I'm there. Like, he's looking directly through me and he's having a conversation. And at first, you got to get thrown for a loop because someone's looking you in the eye. You think they're talking to you and you have no idea. Like, it makes no sense what he's talking about. And then you start like, you know, you're about to say what? And then you realize that he's actually not talking to you. So that was fucked up. And then yesterday I'm at Quick Check, and I'm there for
another bastion of incredible customer service.
Great service. You know, yeah. Fantastic establishment for customer service.
By the way, hold on. Can we count the number of times I say Bastion tonight? Why is that Bastion. My fucking word?
I think you probably are
so. Who are the
me.
Ad wizards who came up with this one? I'm such a fucking douche. I need to fall on something sharp and just bleed out. Okay, continue.
So for whatever reason, I had a sweet tooth that night. I needed something like sweet to eat. So I'm looking around and I'm waiting a while. I'm trying to figure it out. They have like the Entenmann's buy two, get one free or some shit.
Yep.
Figuring it out. So I see the woman's up there at the cash register the entire time. I finally get what I'm getting. I go start walking towards the cash register. She sees me and leaves. She leaves the cash register area. Just walks completely away, leaves the entire area, and goes like to the back of the store. Immediately as I started walking up there. So now the poor like 16-year-old kid with the pimple face finally sees this, and he's like actually doing real work, and he realizes now he's got to check someone out. So he comes around, he checks me out. The instant he's finishing up, she walks back in and acts like oh, the instant I walk away, you know, look at all what happens. She actually says this. I'm like, you fucking bitch.
Oh, she's acting as though like this line just formed right when she left, even though you were there.
Exactly. Like I was
this line of one person.
Like, yeah. Like she's trying to fucking fake it. Like, you know, that she didn't just walk away from the cash register when this happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really got crazy here.
The kid at Quick Check actually convinced me to try and put myself in a situation where I could sue his company. they put this huge like buy the soup decal on the floor, and I guess it wasn't like it wasn't secure yet. It was just kind of laying where it should be, and I kind of walked around. He's like, "Yo, you should walk on that and fall. You'd own this place." So I kind of jokingly like stepped on it to move it, and I actually fucking slipped. I caught myself, but like I should have just let it go and complain about my back. My back, it hurts.
I don't think you're owning a Quick Check from a little fall on the ground, though.
Yeah, but maybe I'd own the buttered roll rack.
you might get a little portion of the Quick Check.
It's a nice rack. I might want to do that. You mentioned the liquor store and the terrible people that talk to everybody else except you. I think it's hilarious that you just mentioned that because Amanda and I went to go get a bottle of wine, and we went to the liquor store, and while we're there, this dumb like ditzy blonde girl who's young and she's, you know, moderately attractive, and
well, ditzy blonde, I mean, doesn't that say it all?
Not always. You could be ditzy and hideous.
I don't know. I don't think you can be ditzy. You're just an ugly, dumb cunt if you're...
Oh, so wait. Ditzy turns into dumb cunt if
no,
you're
I
ugly?
I think that's the way it works. I think ditzy kind of indicates some level of attractiveness.
Really? Maybe.
I think if you say someone's a ditz, most likely she's somewhat attractive. Especially if you say ditzy blonde.
Okay.
That usually means like, hey, you know, there's this good-looking chick who's a moron. But if she's ugly, I don't think you call her a ditz.
So someone says this dumb cunt.
Yeah, she turns into a dumb cunt.
You think ugly?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I would think most people would still try to always picture as attractive as they could possibly imagine in that scenario until they see without hearing ugly, people always try to go more attractive in their mind.
Yeah, but my point being is I don't think you would ever describe an ugly girl as ditzy.
Okay, well, I mean, I think
that goes out.
Okay, I mean, she wasn't like the most attractive thing I've ever seen, but she's not an ugly girl.
Exactly. That's okay. Why she's
so,
only a ditz. She's
so
not a
she's
dumb.
Ditzy. She's a ditzy girl, and she's there with her manager, who's like maybe like 10 years older. Not an old woman by any means. We get there, and she starts having a conversation with her manager. You know what I just saw on the internet? And I'm just thinking, oh, Christ, what the fuck is this going to be? Let me guess, double rainbow. I'm thinking, what obvious fucking thing from months ago did you just discover, you dumb cunt? No, see where I went there? The minute I'm irritated, your looks just doesn't matter. She goes, it's the weirdest website I've ever seen. And, like, the manager just doesn't give a shit. Oh, wow, it's great. Get this, it's called cougarlife.com, and it's
and
like...
this is to an older woman she's talking to?
Yes.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and it's like this dating site, and the manager's like, oh, yeah, for like cougars, like older women. Yeah, it's like all these old ladies who like younger guys. That's what cougars are. Yeah, that's what a cougar is. Yeah, it's just weird. It's a weird sight. And there's like an uncomfortable silence as she's like putting our wine in a bag, and she goes, and the manager goes back in the office. You should probably sign up for it.
She said that to her?
Yes. Yes.
Is the manager still there, or she's like,
behind her? Yeah, and she goes, what? I mean, it's like it seems like there's a lot of guys. You know, you should probably sign up for it. She basically said it's a site for like washed up old cunts.
Old whores. Old whores. Hey, you're an old whore. You should go on there.
You should probably try. I just found this site. It's for like women who like have no needs for fallopian tubes anymore. Their eggs are made out of fucking dust bunnies. They're worthless in every way except for the occasional just I need to fuck a hole type thing. And you should probably sign up for that. You, because you're old.
You're old. You're ugly.
Yeah. And now that I think about it, I remember that she was when we were looking through the wine, the racks, she was like talking to another guy or whatever that worked there, like the stock boy. And she asked him a question, like, I think this was before Halloween. She goes, what are you gonna be for Halloween? And he goes, I'm gonna be myself. And he walks away. Like, I guess he's just had enough of her dumb shit. He's like, I'm gonna be myself, and just walks away. I don't know why anybody would ever talk to you.
She said that to her.
I don't know why anybody would ever talk to you. It's just everything inappropriate, this fucking dumb twat would say. Like, she looks like every receptionist I've ever seen in an office, but now I've figured out why she's fucking pushing cheap bottles of wine to people who are about to go pick up free CineSticks. Because they happen to have a coupon at Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. It's just fucking miserable. And that one I enjoyed. That actually made my day better.
I would like that too. Like, you just have to be served on by someone who's completely rude to her coworkers. It's a total fucking bitch to them.
Yeah,
that'd be fantastic. I would pay extra to go to a place that did that.
I don't want to ban rudeness, and I don't necessarily want to make every retail employee be the perfect Chick-fil-A-esque employee ever. But if they're gonna be rude, I'd like it to be to someone that isn't me.
Especially a coworker, just being a total coworker,
like a superior or a coworker.
Yeah, like especially the manager one, calling her manager and old whore.
Oh, you
like basically
you're
like
washed
the
up.
Scene,
no one wants to fuck you. You should go on this site. It's
behind
perfect
the scenes,
for you.
Calling her manager an old whore. That's fucking fantastic.
Is that really behind the scenes at this point?
No, it's not behind the scenes. It's just like well, it sort of is. Like it's just like suggested that she's an old whore. She didn't come out and say, hey, you're an old whore.
I mean,
she just suggested.
If A equals B and B equals C.
Yeah, but it's not directly said. That's what's beautiful about it. It's like, she doesn't call her an old whore.
The site is for old people, like creepy old women that like young guys, and you should use it. It's perfect for you. That, you know, association.
I kind of like the, I don't know why anybody would talk to you. Like, meanwhile, there's customers there.
Hey, I'm going to go as me. And he just walks away.
I don't know why anyone would talk to you.
Yeah. And you know what? I had the same reaction you did when I heard his response. Because he's kind of like he, you could tell maybe he wanted, he watches the Jersey Shore. And he's like, I could fucking hang with those dudes. I'm going as me. And I'm like, ugh. And then I heard her respond,
oh,
I don't think anybody talks to you. It was good. I enjoyed that.
That's actually a really good burn.
Yeah.
To say to somebody. Like, somebody's just being an asshole, and you just say, I don't know why anyone would talk to you. That's fucking great.
But then after hearing this exchange with their manager, I just realized she just really has no fucking idea that she has no people skills. She's
really the one that people should have no idea why anyone would talk to her, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, this is our first live show in what, 3 weeks now?
Well, yeah, 3 weeks ago we did our last live show.
Yeah. I mean, we took a week off, and then we did two pre-recorded ones the previous 2 weeks.
No, we had a week off, then we had a live one.
No.
Then two pre-recorded ones.
Is that how it went? Yeah, whatever.
We had a live one in between the pre-recorded ones.
Okay. Well, either way, we did two pre-recorded shows back to back.
Back to back.
And we got a lot of kind words from people. You know, Van, Keith Fu, a lot of people really chimed in and said they liked what they heard. And they showed up to hear it broadcast on the in the usual slot by Walter Sobchak from Hate Us Talk played the show so that there wouldn't be something missing for the people who check it out live. I thought that was really fucking cool.
That is cool. That's absolutely really cool.
And he was actually the one who offered the most feedback. Because I guess he probably heard it a couple times. Like, he listened to it when he first played it, and I'm sure that he heard it while he was streaming it. And so he had a lot to say about it, and mostly good shit. He's basically saying that it flowed really, really well because there was no chat to interrupt us. And I
just saying, ignore the chat room.
I mean, I'm not ignoring it so much as I'm not like just breaking the flow and ignoring something you might say to point something out. And I've listened to shows back, and there have been, I think every show I've ever heard that we've done, I've done that. I've just had to get a line from the chat in, and it just completely fucked up what you were talking about, and I didn't hear something. So I mean, he's got a point. I don't know. It's nice to. You know, change things up and try new shit and kind of gives you a different perspective.
Well, what I kind of liked, you know, for doing the pre-recorded shows is we were just sitting there bullshit and then you're like, all right, we're going to do the show now. And we just jumped right into it. It was completely bizarre. Like, before we do the live shows, we're like, okay, you know, let's do this, blah, blah, blah. We're like all, like, you know, all right, serious.
T-minus two,
yeah,
3 minutes.
Do this countdown.
2 minutes.
Like, it literally jumped from like a bullshit sentence about a bowel movement into the actual show. Like no transition. Like, all right, we're on now.
Yeah. And that's what we did. And actually, as a result of those two shows, we've just kind of cut out the intro that we used to do, which was a big point, a big complaint from new people that would catch on to the show. Why am I listening to a song? Why am I listening to a fucking 1 minute intro? You know, 30 seconds, and we're right into it now. I think it just works, you know.
I had a guy, actually, that I played hockey with a couple of years ago, cursing me out. He's like, the one episode, it was the intro was Nirvana's Breed.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's like, he sends me an instant message, and he's like, why the fuck am I listening to 4 minutes of Nirvana's Breed? He's like, fuck you, I don't want to listen to that shit. He's infuriated at me. I'm like, all right, I'll pass the word along.
Yeah, then we cut it down to like 30 seconds of a song, just the hook. And you know what? It's ridiculous. We don't need to do it. We'll just, you know, the show evolves. If you listen to old episodes on DJNewStyleShow.com, you subscribe, you know that the show has changed over the years. Not very much. Like, you could listen to a show from like when we first went on Radio BBQ, which is actually over 5 years ago now. Which is fucking weird. And there's still a lot of the same production pieces. Because production
It's pretty much the same intro, actually. Because I don't know if people realize, on the intro, the homos, they touch him, is me.
From New Year's of 04.
Yeah, that's been a long time.
Yeah.
That's been in there. Because you put that in immediately. Like, you had that recorded.
That was my gold. That was my my path to stardom, I thought, when I first heard it.
Oh, this is great. He says the homos touch it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it evolved, and it really all it is now is a commentary on our lives and the fucking frustrations of having to live them day in, day out. But waking up and saying, great, what's gonna bother me, what nonsense that shouldn't bother me is gonna ruin my week? That's basically every morning. So someone was talking on a fucking phone while I was trying to buy candy bars and fucking beef jerky and an energy drink. Great.
See, I don't think it's the fact that she was talking on the phone that bothered you. It was that it made it seem like you were an inconvenience to her.
Maybe.
Is probably what bothered you.
Yeah, I guess that's what it was.
Like, if someone was just talking on the phone and they said, oh, I'm sorry, can you hold on? They put the phone down, and then they serviced you.
Oh, yeah. No, it's that she did not stop using the phone.
It's not even that. Probably if she had continued using the phone and still performed the task at hand – as efficiently,
yeah,
you would probably have been fine with that. It was the fact that she made you feel like you were putting her out to do her job.
Again, I'm thinking it might just be an asshole boss that says, you know what, I don't care if your family's in peril and they only get fucking 45 seconds of phone time. You will ring up the customers. I maybe that's it. Or maybe she's just a rude cunt who just fucking doesn't care if she works. Maybe that's just what it is. But I mentioned I bought beef jerky and candy bars just as a snack. Yeah, I'm trying to eat better shit. I mean, you wouldn't know because I'm eating candy bars and shit.
Candy bars and beef jerky for a meal?
Yeah, I mean, I totally fucked it up. But, like, I actually made an effort this weekend to eat better shit and have food at work so that I don't always have to go out to lunch and I can eat, you know, a healthier meal or a snack that's not going to fucking just completely give me fucking diabetes. So I got some oatmeal. And throughout the day, I might have a little packet here or there, maybe one or two a day. And because I enjoy the plain oatmeal, but I've been eating it so much, I haven't had like the flavored shit in a long time. I got lured in, and I bought those variety packs where you have like five different flavors, like the fucking maple syrup, the banana
apples
bread.
Apples and cinnamon.
Apples and cinnamon. God damn it. Delicious.
That's good.
But... They're high in sugar.
That's so, how they make it good.
That's how they make it good. But they have a kind that's reduced sugar. So I got that kind, and I got several boxes. And when I was bringing them to work and pulling them off of our shelf, I noticed that the first box is reduced sugar. And then the box behind it had just a different design on the box. Like, they changed the packaging. And with the change of the packaging... They changed reduced sugar to weight control.
Oh God!
I have fucking
like that's terrible. That's the same kind of shit they put on like fat dog food.
Yes.
Like when you have a fat dog, they call the brand weight control. Like you don't see that called on a human food ever.
Yeah.
They never say weight control variety.
So I have fat girl breakfast basically.
Not only is it fat, it's like a terrible name for fat girl breakfast. Yeah.
So I studied the box, and there is one side where it's like, it still says weight control, but it's like a tiny little emblem. Like, if you glanced at it, you wouldn't even see it. So I got them to work, and I put them in, like, the bottom drawer with that side facing up. And I figure, you know what? Okay. It's fucking weight control, but I know it's the reduced sugar kind.
Oh, you know.
I know.
You're a fat girl.
But I'm hiding the fact that it has this new branding, this new packaging. Because it's facing up the side. So I rip it open, and I go today to take one of the packets out. And usually, like, the little paper brown packet's got, like, a riddle on it. Maybe, like, a little trivia fact. No. It's got about 75 times on each side, weight control, in bold fucking letters. I can't even carry this to the kitchen.
Well, because you don't expect, like, a kid. Because those cartoons or those jokes or whatever is on there is meant... For the children that are eating the oatmeal, when you're eating a fat girl breakfast, they're going to make sure you know you're not accidentally slipping up.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So I...
That is really truly a fat girl breakfast. Like,
it is. I didn't want weight control. I give a shit less.
You're a man and you're trying to like lose weight. For breakfast, maybe you'll have like an egg white omelet.
I'm just trying to eat something better.
You're not going to have... I don't care. You're not going to have like thinned out oatmeal in any way.
No.
Like
absolutely
that is
not.
Definitely no matter what. Like even if it doesn't say weight control, it's a pretty feminine weight loss breakfast as far as things go.
Reduced sugar sounds great, right?
Well, sugar sounds fine. It doesn't sound like anything wrong with reduced sugar.
Weight control. Now I got to wear the elastic top pants.
Because, I mean, there's
now I got to wear like, some elastic waistbands.
If you were to buy something that said fat free on it.
And untied shoes.
No one would question that. No one will question reduced sugar. No one questions any of that shit.
Yeah, cholesterol-free.
You're putting weight control on there.
It's like, this is a problem. This is all you can eat.
Like, and the thing is, you know what?
This is all we'll trust you with.
There is a fine line between being a fat girl that's on a diet and being a homosexual on a diet.
Oh wait. Now you're trying to draw this fucking diagram?
No, I'm saying there's a fine line between the two.
Listen. I'm not trying to be the fat girl.
If a man eats the same food as a fat girl.
Wait.
Are you telling me there's not something a little homosexual about that?
You ever eat French fries? That is the fucking... the fucking staple of a fat girl diet.
Yeah, but not a fat girl. I'm talking about a fat girl that's trying to lose weight.
Okay, give me an example other than weight loss.
Are trying to lose weight in the same way a fat girl would.
I'm not even
There's something
listen.
Homosexual about that. You ever notice how homos always have fat girl friends?
Yes.
There you go, because they have this. They probably eat.
Here's the thing. Don't get me fucking twisted, okay? Because I'm so fucking hip. In 2005, Jesus Christ! I need to just stop fucking talking. I'm furious with you. I didn't get this to lose weight. I got this to not gain any more. That's the thing. I'm cool where I'm at. I just got reduced sugar so I could have a fucking snack during the goddamn day. And have it not be as bad as, like, the cookie that I was getting with my fucking sandwich.
What?
Jesus Christ.
All right, homo.
Oh, God damn it. Well, hey, listen. So I'm ashamed now. I have two boxes of this shit. That's how I don't even know how many packets. And every time I have to carry one out, I have to fucking palm it. And walk in. And then, like, hurriedly rip it open and pour it in the cup and throw the thing away.
You should just wear it with pride at this point.
Just say, hey, I got the gay man breakfast.
Like, you know what? That's the kind of thing, though, if you do it and you show confidence doing it, no one will even notice.
Yeah. Carney Wilson and I eat the same oatmeal. We fucking love it. And you know what? Don't judge us. Don't judge us. One day I'll be standing. One day I'll be here.
Shitty marketing ploy that is.
One day I'll be here in my big pants, holding the waist out and smiling, all because of weight control oatmeal. What the fuck? It's just fucking hideous, but it's delicious.
I'm sure, it's fantastic.
And it's a big change of pace because all I would eat would be the plain, no flavor fucking goop oatmeal. Maybe you sprinkle a little cinnamon in it. I've done that. A little salt even. Just tiny amount of salt.
Yeah, you always have to put something in the just plain oats.
But for years, I would eat it just plain. Nothing in it. And I'd be completely cool with that. And then I got a taste of like the maple fucking flavored one, the cinnamon one. I'm like, all right.
Ruins maybe you.
I need a little bit of flavor now. And I had a little tube of this shit. You know, like, they don't sell it in a box. It's like a fucking cardboard tube with a plastic lid, you know, the Quaker Oats shit.
Yeah, see, I don't think I like that term tube.
What's wrong with tube?
I don't think tube is really appropriate for what that is. Well, it's just a box. It's a cylinder. You know, a tube is like a paper towel roll or a toilet paper roll.
Well, it's the same thing. It's a big paper towel roll.
No.
It's got two plastic
tube
pieces.
Tube doesn't work for that.
I call it a fucking tube.
All right, yeah, you're wrong.
I got a roundy box. I got a roundy box of oatmeal. It's a tube.
All right.
A cylinder. I bought a cylinder of oats. What did you call it?
I would call it a package. That's what I would refer to it as. I wouldn't call it a tube.
Got me a package of oats. Well, anyway, I got a thing of oats.
I would call it a box.
It's not a box.
Why isn't it a box? It's still made of cardboard.
It's not a box. A box is a fucking... A cube or a fucking elongated cube. What?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's
a
not
prism.
Always...
I don't know what's the word for three dimensional rectangle. I don't know. I'm not learned. I think that oatmeal's stored in tubes. Well, I had one and I had stopped eating it because I got kind of hooked on the flavored oats.
That's gonna do it to you.
So I figured what I would do is I would mix the two, you know, kind of get a lot more oatmeal.
So you start diluting.
You know, a little bit of flavor. And I haven't, you know, touched this tube in quite a while. Package, box, whatever. I'm used to tube. Okay. So the oatmeal container's been on my windowsill at work. The sun beating down on it. And I'm like, I don't know. Let me check the expiration date. I don't know if it's still good. It might have gone bad. So I looked at it, and it's like, oh, fucking 2012. This is perfect. I'll go, and I'll start eating it again. And Steve the LARPer, I'm sorry, I know I said I wasn't going to acknowledge the chat. Steve the LARPer, we've already established that it's a thing at this point. It's not a column. I'm sorry. It's not. I will be damned if you're going to make me call it a column of fucking oatmeal. Anyway, so 2012, it's got to be good. I'll start eating it. I open the lid. I've never seen more mealworms in my entire life. like a miniaturized version of the snake pit in Indiana Jones. Just fucking writhing on each other. Like the occasional oat here and there, but just tons of fucking mealworms. Tons.
Now, were they mealworms or they, like those little tiny worms?
They were.
Mealworms are pretty fucking big.
They were. Well, they there were varying sizes.
Mealworms are like an inch and a half long.
There were varying sizes.
And they have like a brown head.
They were segmented worms ranging from like a centimeter to like a half inch.
Jesus.
Just fucking horrible. Just intertwining and just saying fuck your breakfast and just fucking curling around and shit. So I just put the lid on it. I threw it away. It went bad. So I mean, what am I
going
to do?
That's not going bad though.
Is it good?
It's not good, but that's not what they mean by an expiration date.
It went bad.
The expiration date doesn't indicate at what point starts growing worms.
You are the fucking term police. First with tube, and now like it going bad.
You can't say it's going bad.
It went bad.
It's not spoiled. It's just full of worms. There's a difference between the two.
Yeah. Okay. It's infested with worms.
Yes.
That's no longer good.
Yes, that's not. That's true.
So it went from good to bad.
When you say the term "it went bad," it indicates it got spoiled.
I didn't say that.
That's what it indicates.
Did I say spoiled?
That's how everyone uses it on Earth.
Well, nobody uses tube, and I use fucking tube.
You're all sorts of fucked up with your oatmeal and your fucking fat girl food.
Hey, I didn't want the weight control. I wanted reduced sugar. Yeah, they made a fucking executive decision. I checked the goddamn box. They're identical in ingredients. They're the same in nutritional facts. It's just that it happens to have a fucking a title to be endorsed by Jenny Craig. I don't know. You know what? I bet you if I look close, there might be a point value on this fucking shit. I'm just going to throw it out. I feel embarrassed to have it.
You should just wear it with pride, man. Just go right for it. You sit there mixing it up right in front of people. They won't even notice.
Because I'm trying to eat better. Oh, weight control. You trying to lose some weight? No, I'm just trying to eat better. Okay, faggot. Okay, faggot. Fuck. All right, Steve the LARPer, I'm done acknowledging you. How dare you make fun of me for owning a petty egg? I have calluses. This is an easy way to get rid of them. To use the petty egg. Just because I was duped into purchasing a Jenny Craig-ish sounding food doesn't mean that I'm less of a man.
But you chose to buy a petty egg. See, this is the first I'm hearing of this.
I have a petty egg, yes.
All right.
I have tons of dead skin scales and fucking calluses.
Yeah,
and
you're
shit.
A man. You just deal with it.
Men
are supposed to have horrifying feet. That's one of the rules of being a man.
Yeah, and you know what?
When you start caring for your feet,
okay. Let's just say this. Let me explain, please.
A man's allowed to do two pieces of caring for his feet. He's allowed to clip his nails.
Okay.
And if he gets a fungus on there,
okay.
He's allowed to like put some antibiotic on it.
All right. So now I'm totally with you. I agree. I want as disgusting a foot as I can have. However, when someone who has a vested interest in you decides maybe the petty egg is a good idea for these fucking horrible feet.
Okay, so you didn't actually buy the petty egg yourself then.
I was given the petty egg.
Okay, see, I can
a less subtle hint I couldn't imagine.
Have you used the petty egg?
Yeah, and you know what? It's fucking amazing.
Okay.
The fucking pile of shit that comes out of it when you're done grinding your feet down, it's kind of interesting. I treat it like a competition with myself. See how fucking full I can get that thing. I've gotten like maybe a few teaspoons of fucking of foot scales. Now would you eat? Never mind.
Would I eat a foot scale?
No, not a foot.
We're gonna go back to this tablespoon of foot scales. We're gonna go back to this bit from last week.
Yes. No, we will not.
Not your foot scales, man.
So my oatmeal went bad. I had to just stick with the weight control oatmeal. It had all worms in it. I don't care. I mean, it's not good. I mean, I don't know. It was in the sun, and I'm guessing that. Here's my thought on this.
Okay.
I'm guessing that, like, the government will allow a certain amount of carcinogens to be in foods, right? There's a legal limit that they just say, fuck it, it's good enough.
I don't think a maggot is classified as a carcinogen.
No, it's not, and I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if they're willing to do that, I'm thinking that maybe they're... And I've heard the same thing about, like, fecal matter in foods. Maybe there's a certain amount of, like, eggs and insects that's okay to go in food. That they say, you know what? That's a negligible amount. Sure. Let it fly.
Yeah, see, I don't think...
And I'm thinking that, like, I'm sure thinking the sun and time incubated these fucking eggs.
No.
And I had a fucking infestation in my breakfast.
No, you're wrong.
How do they get in there?
They get in there because you had already opened this box.
I didn't just let it sit.
No, you opened it, though. It had been opened.
Yeah, it had been opened.
That's all it takes.
That's
all it takes for a moth to wiggle its little ass in there.
Wow.
And lay eggs in there, and then you have the mealy worms. That's all it takes.
Wow. Now that is frightening. Like how big of a moth are we talking here?
Like the little tiny ones, like
wow,
maybe like 2 millimeters.
So like I've opened the seal and I've closed the lid. Can they get in? They can get in through
yes,
the closed
they can
lid.
Get in, they can get in through the closed anything.
Well, then that fucking explains it.
Okay. They can get in through closed. And the only reason I know this is I've talked, you know, a lot about my awful childhood. Yeah. And one of the other awful moments of my childhood was the fact that my parents' house was not a particularly sanitary or clean environment. It's why I think I have an excellent immune system at this point in my life. But growing up, it was a pretty vile and disgusting place. And one of the things that happened was we'd have various pet foods.
Yeah.
There was the pet gerbils in the house. I know that sounds gay, but there was pet gerbils. And you'd get the food for them, which was basically seeds and like, you know, bullshit stuff that moths would end up living in. Like, you buy it from the store and there'd already be moths in it. And then what ended up happening in my horrifying childhood home was moths basically infested the entire fucking house.
Oh,
everything
Christ.
That was possibly edible. So cereal, like, you'd open a box of cereal, the only cereal I would ever eat in the house would be if it was a brand new unopened box. If that box had never been opened before, then I would eat it, because the instant it was opened, like, I don't care how hard you seal it, you wrap up that inner bag, you clip it off, those moths would squeeze their fucking way in there. I don't know how they do it, but they managed to squeeze in, and once that thing was opened, it was on.
Ugh.
And they would get, like, so the dog food was fine, but then they found their way into the dog food, so they were eating the dog. I mean, there was fucking
what was eating the dog food?
The moths would get in there and they'd lay the eggs, and then the worms would be in the dog food then. I mean, it literally was in everything, cake mixes. And my mom was kind of a psychopath in that she would, like, if something was on sale, there must be some sort of disease for this, like some mental defect that you can classify to this. I don't know what it is. But if something was on sale, regardless of whether or not it was necessary, if it was a good deal, she would buy. Oh, wait, I just realized I know someone else like this. If it was a good deal, she would buy more than could ever possibly be used. So we would have cake mixes. I remember in my basement growing up, there was a pile of cake mixes about 8 feet high and like four boxes in total, like a square. So Jesus, like, you know, Christ. Two deep, 2x2 of cake mix boxes stacked on their side. All the way up, like cake mixes from like the 80s still were in this house.
Just bricks at this point.
Salad dressing. I remember salad dressing. Like, you could have a salad every day for the rest of your life and just cover it with dressing, and it would have been fantastic anyway. It wouldn't have mattered. You know, it would just and this is the way it was. So we had all these like cake mixes and cereals and all this bullshit stuff that would never get eaten. So the moths would just go in there and they'd lay the eggs, and then you'd have boxes upon boxes of shit that was just infested. So my fucking parents' house was infested. That's why I know an awful lot about this thing. Now, the only time that was actually cool in my life is I had caught a frog in our pool.
Oh, okay.
I decided I was going to make this frog my pet. So I got the aquarium and I put the frog in there. So what I would do is I got really adept at snatching live moths out of the air. Like, I'd be able to like swat them and scoop it in my hand and let it be alive still. Open up the fish tank and throw it in there. and the frog would leap and eat the moth. And half the time, the frog, like, you don't realize frogs' tongues are so fucking sticky. If it hits a glass wall,
oh nice,
it fucking sticks to the wall for like you know 5 minutes. It just gets stuck there. So that was the only time it was cool to have moths in your house growing up. I guess when you're a kid, you don't really realize you're living like pig pen. Yeah, but now I can look back on it now. It's like, Jesus Christ, that was fucking horrifying. That I had goddamn fucking moths infesting all of my foodstuffs as a kid. I mean, I probably ate pounds of worms and dead moth carcasses during the course of my childhood. Oh, man.
Oh, that's fucking foul. I'm worried now. You have me worried that we're going to live in a house of moths. Of moths. I'm fucking frightened. Because Amanda will buy the rule is if she can get it free, she'll get it. That's the rule. Even if we don't need it.
Even if you don't need it.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to start giving the shit away to, like, you know, the poor and stuff now. Because, I mean, we have too much. We don't need fucking 13 toilet ducks. You know, I mean, like, I mean, I don't know what a poor person's going to do with a toilet duck. But maybe like the shelters and shit like that. Like, for example, like if I were to say, well, why don't you donate it to the homeless? Like, what are they going to do with cake mix and salad dressing?
If you're homeless, like a cake mix, that would seem great. Like a homeless guy would really want a cake.
Yeah.
But then he doesn't have eggs and oil and butter and all the other shit to make it with. So he's just going to scoop out cake mix and just eat it with a spoon.
Wait, can you do me a favor and pluralize moth for me?
Moths.
What?
Moths.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Let me say it in a sentence because it's like my house was infested with moths. Yeah.
Moths? Not moths?
Yeah. I don't think I say moths.
You say moths. Kind of like. Yeah, okay. I'm just. Like,
I don't know. What is the plural of moth?
Isn't it just moths?
I'm reading. Look right now. Moths. Facts about moths. Types of moths. Pest world for kids.
Okay.
No, the plural of moths is M-O-T-H-E-S.
All right, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Moths.
Maybe it's like one of those things where there's multiples.
Oh, okay.
What is the
plural? Like halves. Okay, I get it. I'm just saying. Hey, listen, I don't want to upset you with any more terminology. I say tube, you jump down my fucking throat. I ask you to louden the volume, and you fucking just throw it. You want to throw down.
that's how it went down.
You literally wanted to square off.
I had never heard anyone use the word Loudon before.
Loudon that.
I've never heard anyone say Loudon.
Well, it's easier to say than increase the volume.
I agree. It's easy to say. I've just never heard anyone say it before.
See that? And you the best was that you acted as though I was so fucking down home and backwoods.
Let's not pretend like you really knew. When I did say that to you,
I just had always said it.
It's not like you really knew. You questioned it. You're like, oh, maybe that is wrong.
Well, because here's the thing. You are an intelligent person and you enjoy reading. I can't stand fucking reading. But I think of myself as someone who can, you know, reasonably use the English language. Like, I have a decent command. I'm not perfect with it. But, like, I'm certainly not like our friend Jimmy Rhodes. So I've always heard Loudon, and
it's a valid word.
You didn't admit that at first. And since you
of course I didn't admit it. We had to look it up. I thought it was one thing, you thought it was another. We had to look it up, and you proved me wrong.
But the reason I doubted it...
That's the way things go when someone's right and someone's wrong.
But the
person who's wrong is usually not just going to be like, yes, I'm wrong.
But the thing is, you scorned me so for using it that I felt like, oh, God, maybe I am wrong.
I did not scorn you so.
You did.
We're fucking embellishing this thing so bad.
You honestly said you were going to quit the show because I used it.
You are such an asshole.
Well, yeah, that's true. I don't know. Fuck it. Speaking of fucking assholes, I don't think I even told you this. I was driving around leaving the house after doing some work, and in the neighborhood of my house. I was going to say my neighborhood. On one of the neighbors' mailboxes, I noticed that someone spray painted something on it. And it looked very familiar to me.
Oh, yeah? What was that?
It was green paint. One word. and three letters. Shawnee Murphy, the sex spray painter, struck again.
See, I like this guy. He's just right to the point.
He just writes sex. But the thing is, it was
hysterical.
It was on that tree in my backyard, and I thought that that was like the Woods Party hangout of like 1989. Like, I thought this was a long past thing. The sex spray painter's on the loose. The world's most unimaginative fucking graffiti artist is still in active circulation. Like, he's still performing his craft. This is fucking frightening.
One of two things, or actually probably one of three theories I can come up with on this. The guy is just, he's a degenerate. He's been doing it since 1989, which is theory number one. Theory number two is that the Woods Party of yesteryear that you thought was a Woods Party of yesteryear was actually more recent than you thought.
Okay.
And number three is the possibility of a copycat.
There might be a copycat sex spray painter.
Yes. Someone saw that and said, that's a good idea. I'm going to start spray painting sex on mailboxes.
They did it on a tree, as far as I know, and a mailbox.
Well, now you've seen it on a mailbox.
But I've been hit, apparently. And this is a recent hit, I'm guessing.
Like, you thought that meant that's where someone had sex, right? That was your original thought process?
I'm thinking that, yeah, maybe, I guess. I'm thinking that this is a Woods Party. Someone wants to fucking show off. So they're unimaginative. They're in the suburbs. They don't know what, like, graffiti is. So they just wrote, like, the dirtiest thing they could think of, which was sex. And I guess I'm thinking that was, like, their frame of mind because it was in the 80s. Like, I'm picturing this in the 80s. Like, there was a bottle of, like, SoCo, but I could only tell because of the shape. Because, like, there's no label or adhesive on it. The cap is, like, all cracked off. Like, it looked like it had been there for 20 years. So maybe that just has always been a Woods Party area, and sex guy has just started fucking spray painting it.
I think it's weird to like make that your catchphrase. It's just to go around spray painting the word sex all over everything.
Maybe like John Sex, like the guy's last name is Sexton or something, and he just shortens everything to sex.
I think if my name was Sexton, I would call myself Sex.
That would be the move, but now I'm kind of like, okay, this guy has hit a tree in my backyard and a mailbox next to my yard. What's to stop him from spray painting the house?
No, that's next. He's making the triangle there.
He's gonna spray paint sex on the side of my house. Do I even bother taking it off?
The entire side of your house is spray painted with sex.
Yeah, do I bother?
Like, how big is this?
I mean, the tag on the tree, it wraps around. If you stretch it out, it'd probably be like 2.5 feet. And the mailbox is a mailbox, so
a 2.5 foot tag of sex on the side of your house.
But I think
you got to paint over that.
Like the adaptable goldfish, his tag will adapt to its canvas. Like a goldfish will grow if you let it grow. Like in
so you're
a,
saying,
put it
you're
in a big body of water.
The tag will be the same size as where it is.
It'll go from edge to edge on the side of the house.
You got to be pretty hardcore to try to spray paint the entire side of a house with three letters.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Like, I mean, you have to have a ladder to do that.
This was my initial worry, by the way. I want to remind everybody when I saw this sex tree, but I was only eased by being told and believing that it was from fucking the class of 87. They just had a fucking rip-roaring project graduation. They went wild in the fucking woods. But no, this is a recent thing. It's got to be. He's still out there.
Or there's a copycat, which is worse.
There can't be two people. There can't be a guy so unimaginative that he spawns a protege that's equally unimaginative. Like, even more so because he's copying someone's fucking dumb idea.
Someone saw it there in your woods. They saw
inspired.
They were enamored with this idea of what to tag. Maybe sex is like a local gang.
Oh shit! You know, there's always
in all suburban towns, there's like that fake gang. It's like not really a gang, but they call themselves a gang, and they give themselves a name. Like where I grew up, there was one called the FFC. I have no idea what it stood for, but I remember FFC, and I'd see the FFC tags.
Huh.
On buildings. Maybe you have some fucked up gang.
Well, I remember in my town, we had a gang called the Lopez Gang. And it was all white kids. And they called it Lopez Gang because they heard from someone who was Spanish that in Puerto Rico, Lopez meant gang. So they chose, like,
people that are named like George Lopez.
Yeah, they are so fucking stupid in this area that they want to sound ethnic, so they choose Lopez and call it Lopez Gang. But the reason they chose Lopez is because it means gang, so they want to be called Gang Gang. Just fucking dumb.
The full name of the gang was Lopez Gang.
The Lopez Gang. It's the stupidest name ever.
That's like the Little Rascals would come up with a fucking name. Who the hell has a gang with like? It's not called the Crips Gang.
The biggest
the Bloods
crime.
Gang. Who the fuck puts gang in the name of their gang?
The biggest crime they committed was writing Lopez Gang in the dirt of the baseball field.
a stick? Like,
yeah, with like at the end of a bat. And like it was gone the next morning by the mighty rake of the janitor.
Yeah, or the next rain.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you would have probably seen some outline, right? I guess. The Lopez Gang won't... They're not the type to just kind of scrape the surface. They'll dig it in a little bit to get to the dirt, beyond the clay.
Lopez
the Gang. Lopez Gang.
That's terrible. Like, if they just
because in Puerto Rico, Lopez means gang. 1994 or whatever
I think I could have respected if they were just called Lopez. Like, I'd be a little bit worried.
Yeah.
If I heard about a gang called Lopez, honest, in my suburban sheltered upbringing, if there was a gang called Lopez, I probably would have been a little fearful of.
I think
Lopez.
It was when like Cypress Hill was big, one of the kids bought a butterfly knife at a flea market. I'm serious, like he had a butterfly knife, and they were in the Lopez gang. Like they really desperately wanted to be a crew, and the worst thing they ever did was temporarily. Mar the playing field of Little League.
Another guy had a butterfly knife.
Yeah. I'm sure he didn't know how to use it.
You don't want to mess with someone with a butterfly knife. Stupid fucking knife.
Lopez, son!
What the fuck is the point of the butterfly knife? Like, what is the benefit to the...
Yo, so you can do that fucking flip. That little flippy move while you have the top...
People supposed to fear this?
Yeah, because you have
like one. You see someone doing that. You're like, oh my god!
Look at him. He's flipping it. He's got one button buttoned on his flannel shirt, and he's got sunglasses with a bandana on, and he's flipping his knife really quick. He must be in the Lopez gang.
Better run.
Yes. So the spray painter's back, and I'm worried. But I'm hoping maybe it is the sex gang. And what crimes does the sex gang do? I mean, like, if it was a violent sex crime, they'd be like, they'd have to go with the name rape, right?
Yeah, because like sex has like a you know, it means, you know, some
yo
sort of consensuality.
We will coerce women into consensual sex, son. We are a criminal gang.
They're just a gang all about
lady
banging.
Killers. I don't know. Fuck
no,
it.
I'm thinking if it is a gang, it stands for something. Although I don't know what the X could possibly stand for.
X-ray. Xylophone. Like, I mean, if you're that fucking just, you lack that amount, that big amount of creativity. There's such a creative void in your mind that sex is what you spray paint. Not even any like adornments. No lines. No outlines. One color. Green. Fucking.
So both were green.
Yeah, it's the same paint.
Oh, that's the same guy then.
It's got to be.
Got to be the same guy.
I mean, unless...
So the copycat theory is out the window. So it means either someone's been doing it for 20 years...
It could be
years.
An incredibly skilled copycat. Like, someone who really paid attention. He's just been staring at that... He's like, dude, that's the fattest shit I've ever seen.
I love that tag.
The fattest... So hold on. Let's take a little inventory here. I believe I said, don't get it twisted. And I said, fattest. Jesus, I really need to be fucking shot. Oh, and I used Bastion 17.
Wait, you know, something that reminded me. Didn't Jimmy Rhodes tag stuff with like some fucked up name?
Yeah. Well,
I remember hearing this story.
Here's the story. Jimmy Rhodes and his friends used to get like a couple of his friends used to get into this phase of like wanting to be thugs. Like it was their turn to be the Lopez gang, but they didn't have a name. So they each just came up with tags. And one was like Raz and one was Steel. And it was like Jimmy's turn to tag something and he couldn't think of anything. So he just wrote ass fuck. And that was his tag. Jimmy Rhodes' tag became ass fuck. Anyway, why don't we take a break? It's the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. That's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
Hi, this is DJ New Style, host of the DJ New Style Show, and I've got something to tell you about. One place you can go to keep tabs on everything that's going on with this fine internet radio show: my Facebook fan page. Go to facebook.com/the DJ New Style Show. New videos, pictures, thoughts, questions, go there, comment. I will comment back. I will talk to you. I will bring myself down from my tower to your lowly level, address you, and treat you as my equal, even though that's impossible. Facebook.com/the DJ New Style Show. You go there, you click like, and your friends know that you have taste and class, and you like funny shit. Facebook.com/the DJ New Style Show.
We're on break. Stop crying your little fucking eyes out, you little bitches. The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
I'm DJ New Style, but let's stop for a second. Just call me Ken. We're gonna be friends here, okay? Online e-pals. We'll do what online friends do. We'll post messages to each other. We'll create threads together. Post images. Play games. I mean, where else could we do that? Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, Tumblr? No, none of those places. We'll do it on a message board on HearUsTalk.com. Create your little account, make your little name, and meet me there. All you have to do is go to RadioBronzeFans.com. I'll see you there. Thank you.
The DJ New Style Show.
Hey, this is Mike from Queens, and you're listening to the DJ New Style Show because you're pathetic. If you want to know what real men do, get in your underwear, get on the PlayStation Network, and eat microwavable foods.
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk, that's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. Be sure to go to djnewstyleshow.com, download everything we've ever done. Best in shows on Thursday night, 8 to 11. Go to theawfulhour.com, download everything they've ever done. And go to hateustalk.com. Download their shows, listen to it, enjoy it. A lot of good shit going on Hear Us Talk. A lot of good shit. You know where there's always a lot of good shit going on? Do you know where there's just a fucking ton of shit for you to be involved with, Shawnee Murphy?
No, you got to tell me.
Well, let me tell you. I see you too. How could you have
forgotten?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I didn't realize you were doing commercials now.
Well, I'm just letting you know about an incredible product, of course. I mean, okay. Let's say you're on the internet, right? And there's other people on the internet too. And you want to get with them and collaborate and communicate and see them too. That's important. You want to be face to face with them. Regardless of where you or they are located, you would go to icu2.com. And now that's icu2.com. And download their software. It's free to try. Give it a test run. See if it plays. And if you enjoy it, sign up and be a part of their ever-growing community. We're talking about 2009's People's Choice Award winner for internet communication. What is the internet all about? Communication, right, Shawnee Murphy?
What it was meant for.
The fucking people have spoken. Their choice for communicating on the internet, ICU2. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. I went on ICU2, and there was an attractive woman who showed her breasts to the entire room.
That's just great.
In another room, there was a guy who like pulled his dick out, and that kind of ruined it. But then I went back to the other room, and there were her tits again, just there for all to see. Every time she typed, a little screenshot from her cam right next to her text. That's where I hung out when I was checking out ICU. That's ICU thenumber2.com. ICU2. Face-to-face from any place. Go there. Do it now. Or you're an asshole. You know what? Maybe you're just an asshole.
It's quite possible.
I think it is. There's a high probability that you're a fucking asshole. However, if you try out ICU2, let me know what you think of it.
You're definitely not an asshole.
You wouldn't be an asshole.
There's no way.
Even if you hate it, which is impossible.
There's no way you could do that.
God damn. Speaking of, you know, I mean, you want to act like I'm putting in work on the internet. This is not work. I just love ICU2. But there are some sites that I get involved with where I sign up where I feel like I now have a new fucking job. We spoke about one last week. Do you remember Fiverr?
Well, you actually did have a new job. That was your road to riches plan.
Not even. Just to, like, maybe make a little extra money.
Your road to pennies plan.
To throw towards the bandwidth and all that and shit. And I thought, you know what? What's a minute? What's 2 minutes here? I'm in demand now.
You're in demand, really?
I've got upwards of 2 jobs that I need to get done on Fiverr.
So that's $10.
Yeah, dude.
Minus commission.
$8.
$8.
And I've already
done
one.
You are in demand.
I got scammed out of one job, though. Some guy wanted 500 words about a major city. I'm like, hey, what about Chicago? I wrote 500 words about Chicago, sent to the dude. It literally took me fucking a minute. I just hammered it out, sent it to the dude. I didn't get paid. He fucking scammed me.
See, so how does this system work then?
Well, I mean, if people...
There's got to be some repercussions to someone who doesn't pay for the services performed.
Well,
otherwise, what is Fiverr really doing to earn that dollar?
They didn't design the requesting right. They're all about, like, saying, hey, dude, I'll just do this for fucking $5, son bitch, goddamn. And you put that out there and people buy your service. But there's a section where people can say, hey, I'd really like to have this done for $5. So I went in there and I saw the 500 word thing. I'm like, fuck, I could do that easily. I clicked on it. I did it. And I'm like, hey, I got it. Here it is. And the guy goes, great. Now, how do I pay you? And I looked at it and I'm like, wait, this is just a conversation thread. It's not like there's no transactional functionality.
Oh, so this guy wasn't refusing to pay you?
No, he wanted to fucking pay me.
Okay. So I thought this guy was scamming you. I thought that's how you laid it out.
So I looked at him like, it's just a thread of conversations, which the gigs on Fiverr are just conversation threads, but they also have the transactional piece that allows you to exchange money. This didn't have that. So I'm like, well, let me try and make a gig for this and invite the guy to it. So I try to do it, and it says, no, you've already got this gig. And it brought me to that conversation about the Chicago shit or whatever it was. So I'm like, you know what? I can't figure it out. Just send it to my PayPal, hearustalk@gmail. And I'm like, cool, that's going to be $5. And you know what? I guess I'm getting around their commission thing because they designed it poorly. So I'm getting a full $5 on this.
Figured out a way to do it.
Fucking broke the system right down the middle.
That's 25% extra.
I got an email the next day from Fiverr that says I have a strike. One strike on my account. and they said, we noticed that you weren't being cool because you gave your PayPal address to another user. Not cool. That's one strike for you. Multiple strikes will result in your account being banned.
They shouldn't threaten anyone who's using that fucking retarded service from account banning.
It's the worst.
They should be thanking God that anyone would ever use this thing.
It's the worst. I feel like I have a goddamn job. I have to learn Computer Blue by Prince. by tonight. It's due tonight.
Why is this due tonight? I don't understand. You were saying this to me before that you had to learn this song, and you were saying it's due to. I don't get it. Why is it
in my Fiverr gig where I say I'll just make up a song? And I guess make up a song apparently means I have to do fucking Prince covers because somebody doesn't know how to fucking read. I said I'll do it in a week, and a week ago somebody requested that I do a shitty cover. Like they saw my YouTube channel, and they said, "Dude, I love your shitty covers. Do one of." Computer Blue by Prince and dedicated to Carol.
So basically, you waited a week and didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just saw it. I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. I have to do that. I got to do that. Fuck it. And now I'm like, I've never even fucking heard Computer Blue.
But it's your own self-imposed deadline.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I figured I could make up anything in a week. I figure I definitely could do that. But now I have to like cover songs and shit. Like I don't know. I'm losing interest in this fucking site. I've lost interest in this fucking site.
We did a whole like half an hour segment on the show last week.
Yeah, but then you know, I came into my own.
I don't understand. You're saying you're losing interest. We talked for half an hour last week about how awful this site is.
You know what? When we were
just
done,
now you're losing interest.
When we were done with the show, I noticed, hey, I'm starting to get requests here, buddy. That's money. Money in my electronic pocket. Of course, it's only $4, and it's not worth the fucking time and effort. But I looked at the lyrics for Computer Blue, and like I have no idea what it means. Like I could do my best to duplicate it, but apparently like people like to say Prince has like a meaning in every song he does. Like there's some kind of meaning. Like I don't understand what "Till I Find the Righteous One, Computer Blue" means. I have no fucking clue what that means to me. Yeah, have you ever heard the song?
I've heard a lot of music. I have never heard this Computer Blue song before. You said it to me, and you're like, I got to learn Computer Blue. And I thought you were talking about like some programming language that I had never heard of.
Yes, I have to learn Computer Blue.
I'm like, what the fuck is that? Like, okay.
It's a NYX-based OOP. Fuck it. It's Prince and the Revolution, Computer Blue.
Wendy? Yes, Lisa. Is the water warm enough?
The amount of drugs this dude fucking put up his nose.
Shall we begin?
Just astounding.
Yes, Lisa.
All right, I'm just going to skip ahead. Fuck it. And, classic Prince sound. Alright, enough of that. I can't even fucking listen to it. But until I find the righteous one, Computer Blue. So I like I'm thinking I need to know what this fucking means. So I go on like I type for song meanings, Computer Blue, and I get this site where I guess people can write about it. And I mean, they didn't really offer a meaning except like so much as they offered theories as to what it means. And I could not have seen anything stupider. Like, the song is from 1984, maybe 85, right? Prince and the Revolution, mid-80s. Someone says, dude, Computer Blue means internet porn.
That's the first one I saw.
Yeah. it's internet porn. And
like on ARPANET, they're just sending around ASCII images of fucking people banging.
And people are commenting, oh, it's a great song. Someone says, I lost my virginity to this song. And people are frantically in caps like, what is the meaning of this song? And someone says, I'm just going to take a shot at it. Prince always has some hidden meaning to his song, which I love. But I just think it probably has to do with a person spending all their life on a computer and not having any type of personal life. What? It's 1984. What the fuck are they doing all day on a computer? This wasn't the age where like it was like, oh, dude, that's so deep. He's on Facebook all day. He's like, what does he do? He's programming something in Logo. Forward 40. Rotate 45. Back 20. Like, just I don't fucking understand how people could be so fucking stupid. But then again, I don't even know what it means. But
but you're not making up some fucked up theory on what it means. There's a difference between not knowing what something means. Yeah. And making up some fucked up
nonsensical theory. I'm just going to take a shot at it. I think it's, you know, when you're on Twitter all the time, that's what he's talking about. It's 1980 fucking four. There's no Twitter. There was nothing to do on a computer for most people. Even Prince. I bet you Prince has never even fucking used a computer at that point. You know what? Maybe he has. Doesn't fucking matter. But there was nothing to do all day on a fucking computer for the average fucking person. These fucking people with their dumb fucking theories that they're so passionate about that they write paragraph after fucking paragraph and they fucking back it up and it's just pure fucking shit. I was in a goddamn tiny chat room last night and just fucking a random room that I found a link to and went in. And these people are talking about, like, zombies. I guess that's, like, a really popular topic now. Zombies.
You got the Walking Dead just came out.
Yeah. I mean,
so I think that's spawning a lot of that kind of stuff.
And,
right
and the fact is, nerds love zombies. Like they
nerds
used to,
do love zombies.
They used to love vampires. I guess they've just.
See, I don't
felt,
think nerds ever really liked vampires. Zombies have always been more for nerds. Vampires were for. More for chicks.
Okay, I think they did like vampires because some of them used to try and act like them. Certain people that we would know that would be called Cinderella. Dressed like they're fucking Nosferatu, like they're all black and shit. Anyway, so they're really into zombies, and in this tiny chat room, like I'm thinking, oh, this is really playful. They're like talking about, you know, what they would do during the zombie apocalypse. I'm like, this is a decent conversation, and they're like, well, what you have to remember about zombies is you can't get their blood on you, because if you do, you could get the virus and you'll be a zombie and then it's all over for you. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to hole up in my house and I'm going to use a bow because the noise won't attract the other zombies. And like another guy chimes in, he's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Everybody knows zombies can hear a heartbeat, so your bow doesn't matter. And I'm thinking, why are you getting so fucking passionate? And to call someone stupid, you're arguing about how to
make-believe.
Kill fucking zombies.
You call someone stupid because their make-believe theory is not the same as your make-believe theory.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, a lot of these people, if you even, like, mentioned the existence of, like, Jesus or God, they were like, that's so fucking stupid. But then, in the next breath, they're saying, what I would do is I would go to a high school, stand on the roof, because there's plenty of flat space where you could get soil and plant vegetables, and the zombies can't climb, so I'd be good there, and there's generators, and, like, this just can't fucking be.
Well, see, what you
can't be real.
You have to understand what's a nerd's greatest dream.
I finally touching a breast.
No, it's actually not. Nerd's greatest dream is to be alone in the world, by themselves. They want to have nothing to do with civilization or society. So they think about things like the apocalypse and how wonderful that would be for them if they were able to live in the apocalypse. So, like, you know, most people are dreaming about, like, you know, what kind of chicks they can bang. Or, you know, what's going to happen when they're a millionaire. Nerds are dreaming about what happens when the world ends and they're one of only a few people left and they can just rule the roost. Ugh. So they put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah.
And they come up with these theories because this is their dream. Like, tell me you haven't at some point in your life thought about, hey, if I won the lottery, this is what I would do.
Sure.
Yeah, so
sure.
Your winning the lottery is the same as the nerd's equivalent to the end of the world.
It isn't, because I know I'm not going to win the lottery because I know I don't fucking play. But I can always have that fantasy of like, oh, dude, if I just ever hit the lottery, fuck it, golden helicopter, bitch. But with them, I got yelled at by these people. I said, oh, God, I mean, this is you guys are taking this a little seriously. And someone goes, so what if we take it seriously? So what? Do you think you're better because you don't have a plan? You don't believe it? Intelligent people know that zombies could happen.
It could. Totally, yeah. Right. It's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah. There are studies. Like, that's how every
there are
bullshit,
studies on zombification.
Every bullshit statement starts with, there have been studies. And this bitch that yelled at
me. I read it somewhere.
I was getting browbeaten by some fat girl. Like, and I was just in awe as I was eating weight control. Fucking, I was in awe that she's like, what I'm going to do. There's a building that has computer server. It's a data center. It has 2 points of entry. I'll go to it. My friend works there. I'll get access from them. There's generators. And she said that if the servers are running, the generators will last 6 months. But if I shut all the servers down, they'll last a year. There are bags of soil on top of the roof that my friend put there in the event of the zombie apocalypse. I'm not fucking kidding you. She has goddamn topsoil.
They've prepped for the day the zombies come.
Yes. They're going to be planting crops on a fucking data center.
If you're
going
to prep for something, wouldn't you be better off prepping for nuclear war or something that could actually happen?
I mean,
like, you're actually spending
it's all
time.
Bullshit anyway, because it's all bullshit
anyway.
They're
taking time out of their life to go prep for the zombie apocalypse?
Yeah.
To prepare for this thing?
There's no seeds you can plant to grow Rolos, so we know this bitch isn't going to fucking succeed. I mean, it'd be one thing if she was a sinewy, fucking athletic-looking girl.
Like
she
a
was,
vegan preparing for the apocalypse, maybe you'd believe. The big fat sow.
She had the physique of a snowman sitting in a goddamn chair. I'm going to run across the street and just grow everything I need to live. And shut the fuck up.
Did you see Zombieland?
Yes, I did.
Remember the opening scene of Zombieland?
Mm-hmm.
Which was what?
Well, I mean, there was the whole montage of rules.
Well, the rules, but what was rule number one?
Be fast.
It was cardio, and they showed like the fatties were the first to go.
Yep.
Show that fat motherfucker on the football field getting chased by the zombie. So that you should have pointed out to that fat bitch that she's not going to make it across the street.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. But like, and someone would say something, and then like someone would say, "No, that's not how zombies work." And like they would, and I'm thinking, I'm like, you really, like, there's no wonder that you've done nothing. You've done absolutely nothing. You're like, a lot of these dudes are like the types that would masturbate to like a chat roulette because they had the same like type of day bed and like the same sheet. It's just that they were in frame now. And just talking.
So like, all they did was turn their camera.
Yeah, they just turned the camera so their face is visible.
They just go from the jacketed channel with the camera turned away from their face.
Yeah.
And they switch to the zombies channel.
They're like, hey, listen, you know, zombies, honestly, if there's like a neurogenesis, your brain could actually die but be reborn, which means you're dead but you're alive, and that means you're a zombie. And I'm like, like, if you put this much effort into getting that big fucking position at fucking Roy Rogers on the fucking highway, maybe you would be something more than what the fuck you are, an asshole holding a plastic rifle like the silent scope gun. He's like, dude, I know all about weaponry, and I know that your gun's gonna jam unless it's a sniper rifle, and you gotta be good to get the headshots. I don't know why I stayed in there that long. I really don't know.
I would have stayed. It would have been like a train wreck.
I was waiting for everybody to go, okay, yeah, this is bullshit. This is
yeah, like they're all pulling one over on you. They were just fucking with you, waiting for someone like you to come in the room.
It was the most sincere, like every. Every conversation I've ever overheard about, like, politics, it had that tone and that same defense of every point people were making. About fucking zombies and how to kill them. Just, I don't know. I used to consider myself kind of like a geek, nerd, in that kind of... I just don't have the fucking capacity. I don't have the fucking patience to pretend that fucking fantasy will ever happen.
Well, see, I think that's really the true definition of a nerd is when they...
belief in fantasy? No.
When you can become completely obsessed with something that is meaningless.
Hmm.
Like, absolute obsession with something that has no meaning or bearing on life at all.
That's a great fucking point. It really is. Like, knowing everything about video games. I know everything about every console. Great. Fucking show me how to cook a steak. Sweep a floor. You can't. But you can tell me about ColecoVision and fucking the original fucking joystick controller was put out by Magnavox. And like, just obsession with something that is completely useless and meaningless.
Yes, that is the definition of... I'm going to say that's the definition. I don't know. It's the definition of nerd or geek.
Has that always been the case? Or is that just...
I think so. Okay. I think that's the way it goes.
Hmm. Okay. Maybe that's what it is. Fuck. It's just, you know what? A lot of people, I'm having trouble interacting with people on the internet. I really am. I enjoy the show. I enjoy interacting with the listeners of the show and friends and stuff like that. But, like, just random people I have no connection with are really starting to bug me. Like, I signed up for this other site. Like, another site you sign up for and it seems to be another job you have. That's the new trend. Web 3.0 is, hey, use our free site, but you're going to fucking work. You're going to put work in. So I signed up for Blippi. Do you know what Blippi is?
I heard of Blippi. It's that stupid service that wants to publicize all of your credit card statements.
Yeah.
That's like everything you use your credit card for.
Yeah, that's what I heard about them. But I also heard that there was this website OMG free nail clippers. I went there. It just seemed weird. And it's like, this is for reals. And like, give me your Blippi name, your address, and your Twitter name. And it was like all like official Blippi shit. And I'm like, fuck it. I'll just see what happens with it. So I had to sign up for Blippi. And I when I did, it's like, oh, well, okay, now you're on Blippi, but you have to link an account. And I'm like, well, fuck. It is that site that's going to go with the transactions and shit. And I don't want everything I purchase to be on the fucking web. But they had other options where it was like your Netflix account, your Hulu, your Gmail. So I just picked something I didn't give a shit about, because like, I'll watch the occasional TV show or movie on Hulu. And like that's really all I ever use it for, and I don't really care about it. So I selected Hulu. And then like the next step is you got to run through everything you've ever watched on fucking Hulu and give a review about it. I'm like, fuck it, skip, 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 fuck all of it, skip, skip. And then
for
like
goddamn free nail clippers.
Yeah, but like I kind of was interested in the site now that I knew it was a little more than just your credit card. So I'm looking through it, and I'm on the last thing. It's like you can skip it or just fucking review it later. I'm just hit skip on everything, and on my last thing, it was like Louie season one, and I'm like, oh, all right, well, fuck it. I'll write something about this, and all I wrote was loved it, and I hit great, and I thought that was a good enough. Like it says, write what you think. I wrote I loved it. And I'm like, okay, great. So I filled out.
That seems like a good review to me.
I filled out the form, and you know, sent the message out, and I'm thinking, oh, great, I'm gonna get these fucking nail clippers. It'll be really fucking weird. I don't know what this is about, but I'd be interested to see what they do send, the letter or whatever. 30 minutes later, maybe an hour later, I have a deluge of email from Blippi users. Mostly the consensus, like one of the messages is like, can you please elaborate on this? On my one review of Louie season one, I wrote, I loved it. They're like, can you please elaborate? Little more information, please. Like everybody wanted me to give more information. So I'm thinking, okay. Louie's a funny show. Dream from the mind of Louis C.K., stand-up comedian who is very funny. And I really liked it. And someone was like, okay, but how does it compare Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm? Where does it fit in between that? And what's the style of comedy? And, I mean, if you could just give me a little more, that would be great. And I'm like, okay.
Like what? Do you have to do this to earn your free nail clippers? Or
no,
you
these are users of the
just
site.
Just letting users harass you.
They're harassing me by the virtue of the fact I fucking signed up and reviewed something, and they didn't, and they saw that I reviewed it, and they're like, oh my god, he loved it, but I don't know why. So now I'm like, well, okay, sure, it's all these things, and this is, and I'm like, well, it's good like Seinfeld, and it has no laugh track like Kirby. I went in way deep in the definition, and I was and people rated my final description as like awesome, informative, great. Like they have like five or six categories, and I, they were all fairly positive. But then I'm thinking like, how fucking OCD are you to not just take a leap of faith on a 30-minute fucking show? Like,
well, I think two things are weird about the whole thing. I think one, for you to like leave a review, but not actually do a review and just say that you liked it. I think that's a little bit weird to even bother publicizing that. You got to be honest.
It but said no. It didn't. First of all, it didn't present it as a review. It said, "What did you think of Louie season one?" That's what it presented.
That's a little
me
bit.
With.
That's a little bit different.
And then it presents it as a review. It presented it as a review.
Okay, so that's bullshit. Okay, fine. I'll let you off the hook on that one then.
Yeah,
but for someone to like actually be upset, like if I was looking to buy something, you know, Amazon, I always look at Amazon reviews whenever I'm going to buy something, yeah. You know, see what people said about it. And but if someone gave a shitty review, I wouldn't start demanding that they give me a better one. I just go to the next review.
Yeah. So I checked out the site, and the official tagline is Blippi is a place where people obsessively review everything they watch, eat, purchase, blah 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 blah. So now I realize that all the people that go on Blippi and love Blippi are fucking OCD people who just can't, who refuse to blindly use anything. They have to know everything about it. Like, oh my God, this might just be outside of my box. I don't want to fucking expose myself to it. And to an extent, like, you're buying a $1,200 oven. I understand. Go look at the reviews. You don't want to buy a shitty one. You're going to go to a movie. It's 3D. You might spend $30. Okay. I get it. You're not going to go
on Hulu. Costs you nothing.
You're not going to go on Hulu and watch the first 5 minutes of a fucking show and just say, hey, this is for me. I'll watch more. Or, hey, not for me. I won't read. I don't understand the whole fucking notion. I really don't. Like, this one guy, F New, on this site, just fucking commented 6 times on something I wrote. I said, it's not your typical
sitcom.
Now,
were there other reviews of the show? Or was yours the only one?
I'm sure that there are. I just know that all these interactions are on my one thing. So people just are constantly checking this fucking thing. And they're like, oh my God, I was thinking of checking that out. I wonder what this guy said. Loved it? What an asshole. Can you give me more? God, now what am I? I have to watch 30 minutes of television and formulate my own fucking opinion? Please tell me about it.
Like, and what are you going to tell them? You're going to tell them why you loved it and he's going to somehow glean from that?
F New writes, I know very little about this show except that it's a comedy. Tell me what's grabbing you about it. Okay, it's not a sitcom. The jokes aren't set up, knocked down, and there's no laugh track.
How do you describe? You can't describe something that's funny.
I just said I liked it. Why don't you just?
Well, you can't do it with anything that's funny. How do you describe why you like something that's funny? Because it's funny. I mean, there's nothing. What else is there to it?
Fucking, I watched it.
It makes me laugh. That's what I liked about it.
And noise came out of my mouth, and my stomach tensed in intervals, really quick intervals, also known as fucking laughter.
Like, you cannot explain why something is funny to you. Like, that's just the kind of thing that would ruin the joke if you had to sit around and explain why you laughed at something.
We got a call here. 316, okay. This is what happens on a live show. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Shawnee Murphy. Who's this?
This is Walter Subcheck. How are you guys?
Walter Subcheck, how are you? By the way, thank you for streaming the last two pre-taped episodes of the show to keep our time slot going. We really appreciate that.
No problem, man. You'll have a fine program. I was thinking about reviews that y'all are talking about, and it reminded me of something. A website that y'all, I don't say promoted, but you had one of the owners on court.com.
Yes.
And I've actually kind of gotten into it. But I feel when I sit down to review a wine that I have, if you look at the other reviews, they use words and they eloquently speak about things that I'm just like, it tastes good. You know? And you feel like a moron going, whatever he said, I like, but like I just think it tastes good. And then you feel extremely ignorant.
Yeah,
you know, and they say, "Well, don't worry about it," but you still do. There's no way of getting around it.
Well, yeah, when people are talking about the percentage of oak that they taste, I got a note of pencil lead and fucking wheatgrass with orange peel. Oh yeah, and it just tastes like fucking wine. And
see,
I didn't
what Walter Sobchak hasn't figured out yet is that everyone who talks about wine is full of shit and is making it up. Like, it's all you got to do is just make something like you just did. The taste of crap. Like make up like disgusting horrible things like you just said. A taste of graphite.
Yeah,
that's a wonderful
chicken fat. I'd say chicken fat, and I'm getting a toey, a toe cheesy kind of on the nose, and tannins.
The best one is when they go, "Well, this wine would be better if you let it aerate for 2 or 3 hours." I'm like, "Well, you just crack the son of a bitch up and drink it." Like, yeah. What drink do you have to leave out for a couple hours for it to taste better? That sounds ridiculous.
Just fucking go on there and talk and do reviews of Boone's Farm,
yeah,
and boxed wine.
Yeah, the only thing that you need
got me drunk.
The only thing you need to air out before you eat is a disgusting vagina. You should just drink your wine. That's it. You don't just let the glass sit. Just fucking drink it. It shouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah. Honey, I'm going to put your pussy in a decanter for a couple hours.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, fantastic.
Decunter.
Yes. Yeah, decunter. Yep. There you go.
Man, well, again, you know, it is work. It does make you feel like you're not good enough because you read everybody else's fucking review and like a marvelous film noir journey of character driven. I'm like, I just fucking laughed at it. And with the wine, yeah, I mean, I tasted a little of a grape flavor and wine skins, and like I don't know what the fuck. So it ends up being, it tastes good, and I realize at that point I can't contribute to the site because nobody's going to appreciate my review.
Nobody gives a shit about what you have to say.
Nobody does. And I can't...
Here's the situation. It's like when you go on a review site, like they're talking about, for example, the new thing is to kind of pick up Keith Richards' autobiography, which I've started reading. And the funny thing about it is, you have all these people who write, oh, there's his stories into this novel, you know, 5, 6, 7 line reviews, and I always go back to the guy that just, great fucking read. That's all I need, great fucking read. All right, I'm in.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not, what?
I appreciate that.
That's all that matters, though. Like, do you really care, like, why something's good? You just care whether or not more people think it's good than don't.
You're
not going to somehow figure it out.
On a product that has a lot of features, if someone says, it's great, and I love these features, and these features are great, that's great. Go into detail there. Tell me why that piece of it's good. But in a work of fiction or a book or like a movie, good or bad, and bad, why? That's all. I want an explanation of why it sucks. But if it's good, I'll just trust you. I don't care.
Well, hey, what do you feel about sites like Consumer Reports and whatnot, who they tend to rate things and give opinions? I subscribe to it online, and for appliances and stuff, I tend to read that, to get an honest opinion on things.
Yeah, that's a little bit different because you're talking about professionals that are comparing every single product in a category,
not just
dipshit who had a glass of wine and wanted to review it.
They do have user comments, and I certainly read those because I don't know. It's funny to listen to people that it'll be consumer rest best buy, and then they'll say in 6 months it tore up. Well, there you go. I don't know. When it comes to certain things like appliances and stuff, things that you're going to make a major investment in.
Yeah.
You know, like a $5 bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Know,
I mean, who cares? Or a free web show. But with appliances, yeah, I definitely want all the information I can get. But there is you have to watch the user comments because some people will like, well, I got the cheap fridge from fucking Joe Asshole's fucking appliance gallery or whatever. And you know what? It ended up being a good little fridge. And they're just kind of trying to cover up for their shitty purchase.
Well, hey, what about for example, like, do you think this happens like let's say you're looking at a Kenmore and somebody from LG will go and write dog shit stuff about Kenmore on their site, on the reviews.
I was much more happy with my LG refrigerator with the automatic opening freezer door. And it's all totally gameable, but with Consumer Reports, the actual articles, there's no guy that's going to buy 6 fridges and compare them all. So they actually do that, so I've kind of put more value in that. I do appreciate that, especially for an expensive purchase.
Yeah. Somebody with a username like, you know, Choke Canyon 125 is going to tell you the kind of, you know, appliances you should be buying. You know what I mean? Yeah,
exactly.
You know, all right.
Yeah. 69 or 72.
Right. I'm 18 years old, but I've got an opinion, so that's all that matters.
Sex NJ is highly recommending green Krylon paint. Anyway, Walter Sobchak, Monday nights, hate us talk on Hear Us Talk.
We've been on Monday nights. We've been for y'all who listen to HearUsTalk.com. We've been kind of doing a double feature. Usually get a Hate Us Talk, and right after it, we get a new updated Bug Zapper Radio.
Nice.
So you get a twofer on Monday nights.
Like it.
So yeah.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. And definitely, if you haven't heard his shows, you haven't heard Hate Us Talk, you haven't heard Bug Zapper Radio, you got to check it out. Give it a shot. It's honestly, it's fucking fantastic. I listen to it all the time. Very compelling.
All right, gentlemen, I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later, buddy. Thanks again for the streaming last couple weeks. All right, he hung up. I guess fucking.
He was done. He was done with you. He's like, oh, God. Yeah, I gotta get off the site.
I overcomplimented him, I think.
You embarrassed him.
He has that southern accent, you know, and that fucking reminds me of something from today. Like, I just. He's like, well, I just like it, God damn it. Blah, blah, blah. But today, someone was and I don't know why. Here's how my fucking brain works. I hear southern voice, and I think of something that is kind of related to the South. Like, someone at work was talking about the Civil War. Okay. This made me think, his voice made me think of that. And that, in that conversation, they mentioned the word Appomattox. Okay? And you hear Appomattox, that might make you think of some other part of the Civil War or a location or some kind of battle. So what it makes me think of is a fucking episode of Growing Pains. I've discovered that my brain is tied to really cloudy moments from shitty TV I watched as a kid.
So basically, you've got some sort of fucked up link in your head to keywords that go to shitty 80s television.
Like, Appomattox, they said. And instantly I remembered an episode where Mike Seaver cheated on a test by, like, writing all the Civil War answers on his shoes. And so, like, I remembered it, and, like, we live in an age now where, like, if I remember anything about something, I can pretty much find it. It's almost a guarantee that I'll find it and be able to verify if I had it right. And I found this episode. It was episode 118 of Growing Pains. I have the exact clip that I remembered that was triggered from hearing that. And this is it right here. Oh, and by the way, it's his little brother Ben reaching into a brown bag and pulling out the shoes with the answers on it.
Why is Dad feeding me shoes?
Ben, that's my bag.
Why is Dad feeding you shoes?
Ben, come on, give it. I need that.
Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, Appomattox Courthouse.
Yeah, they're my buddies. I had them sign them for good luck.
You know somebody named Appomattox Courthouse?
Yeah. A black guy, captain of the basketball team.
Okay, so now think about that. Now think about that. That was 1986, Growing Pains. That exact episode aired in 96. Or, I'm sorry, 86.
Why didn't they call him a colored folk?
Yeah. They fucking... Appomattox Courthouse. Oh, it's just the black guy in school.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I think that the fact that the kid just bought it. Like, yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, they have all kinds of weird names.
Them blacks would
and that studio audience didn't laugh harder the entire episode than at that line. And it's honestly, it's a pretty good line.
Oh, it's funny. It just doesn't belong on, like, a family comedy.
You would think so, but I think back then, it didn't, like, fucking... There was no waves about it. Just, like, whatever. Fuck it. It's just a dumb line in a stupid show.
And, you know, it was
But you hear that now. You're hearing that with today's ears, and it's like, only the edgiest of shows would probably have a line like that.
I don't even think no show would do that now. There's no way there would be... Like, people would be infuriated.
Yeah.
And this is the 80s, and it's not even like the early 80s. This is like the mid to late 80s when this is going on. This is probably 87. Actually, if it's episode 118, we're probably approaching the 90s.
They mentioned the date. It's season one. They mentioned the date.
No, you said it's episode 118.
They say 118 because it's season one, episode 18.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was in the first season. So, and they even said 1986 in the episode.
Okay.
I could have been working, but I watched Growing Pains. And I gotta say, I mean, I never thought, like, okay, Growing Pains, great show. I mean, it's a show I watched when I was younger. But compared to the shit that's out there now, there's actually some decent writing in this fucking episode.
Well, you can say whatever the fuck you want. You can be slanderous to black people if you want. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that would be a
that
line.
That colored fella named Appomattox Courthouse.
You would expect to hear a line similar to that, or, like, on that subject, on, like, a show that where it's like, oh, well, that's Curb Your Enthusiasm, or that's Louie, or that's a show that frequently deals with race. but this is just a throwaway line in a family, show.
Family comedy.
Like the all-American boy, fucking Kirk Cameron. Just like, that's just some fucking black guy.
And
not only that, captain of the basketball team. They had to throw that in there.
Yeah, because we all know black people, all of them play basketball.
Yeah,
but he did say he was friends with them.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
That's the difference. In the 60s, he wouldn't have been friends. It would have been some Negro from my school.
It would have been, those are all the names of the people I hosed down.
So we get down 20 years later. Yeah. It's the same exact line, except it's a friend now.
Yeah.
And now we've got.
And now you wouldn't even hear the line.
You wouldn't even hear this.
It's like, that's so insensitive. And by the way, in this same episode, Maggie Seaver, the mother, because I got to set this up a little bit, because like he didn't need the answers on the shoes and no one believed him. So as an example of his lies, the mother points out, well, what about the time you told the principal that your last name was actually Mike Sieverman so you could get off on all the Jewish holidays? Like, that's too racist, not racist, but like race, religion related comments in one fucking 30-minute episode.
One 30-minute episode of a family comedy.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty goddamn fucking impressive for that show, which no one would have ever said is like a really funny show. No one would have ever said that. Ever.
No, none of those shows were. Yeah. I mean, if it was like a family, it still isn't. No family comedy was ever actually funny.
Married with Children?
That's not a family comedy, though. Like, when I say family, like the kind of thing you're supposed to sit around with your kids and watch.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's what I meant by family comedy.
Classic smart dad, successful good mother, wisecracking kid. Okay.
None of those have ever been funny. Married with Children, I thought was hysterical, but that's not your classic. You know, now Married with Children was actually considered edgy at the time. You ever go back and watch an episode of Married with Children now?
Yes.
It is pretty fucking tame now.
Considering.
And that thing was like, you know, seat of its pants edginess, boycotts and shit going on for that.
That's true. They really did have edginess, but with that clip. It just really clued me in because I had it verbatim. I had the whole scene memorized.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Got to tell you.
So I'm thinking maybe that stood out as something like, wow, they talked about a black guy. So maybe,
no, because it wouldn't have mattered to you. It would have meant nothing to
but
you.
But I heard Appomattox and I was instantly taken to that scene.
Teleported right over to it.
Yeah, and I don't know why we were talking about Civil War.
It's 1986. You were what, five?
Six.
Six?
Yeah. I was 6 years old. And keep in mind, they also ran this shit in reruns, too.
Vivid memory
of a
shitty comedy.
I do. And I, because I remember a part of it, Appomattox, and I remember it was the growing pains and the sneaker, I was able to find it in 30 seconds. There was also another time where I remember I woke up and the TV was on. It was just on. It had been on while I was sleeping, and I woke up, and it was like a live performance of like fucking Meatloaf, and this is like when he put out that album with that song that like brought him back for a little bit.
The Battle of Hell 2 album.
That. Yeah, that fucking album.
The one where he was like Bigfoot in the woods.
Yeah. What are those videos where it's like the literal videos for the?
I like the literal video.
That one's pretty good. But anyway, I remember that it was definitely Meatloaf. And I remember one line, no detergent gets it out. And that's all I remember. That's all I remember. And for years, I didn't even know if that was like a figment of my like something I dreamed up, if that even existed, if I was just in a haze. And then eventually I got the idea, like I remembered it because I heard detergent. I'm like, oh, let me check that out. I searched Meatloaf and detergent gets it out. And there is a fucking song, and it is from that fucking album. And it's not even like a charting song. It's like there was no heat on this fucking song. It's Life is a Lemon and I Want My Money Back by Meatloaf. And one of the lines is, and no detergent gets it out. So my entire web of memories really just is a collection of paths that leads to worthless, pure shit. I can hear detergent. I don't think of, oh, well, you can use it for. Well, make sure you use this amount and rub it in and pre-treat. No, I think Meatloaf and fucking shitty song. woke up under a fucking Afghan after trying to stay up late for Saturday Night Live, and Meatloaf was performing.
So is that like terrible for you living in this existence where you would hear a random word and you remember something shitty that has nothing to do with the word?
Yeah.
It's gotta be pretty shitty life.
If I had read and like my parents were like, no TV. No TV. You will read books. And my associations were with like works of art or fucking like stuff to use my brain. I wonder where I'd be. I wonder how much more
successful you might be. A genius because you have a crazy memory just in general.
Yeah, and it's wasted on fucking dumb
bullshit.
Shit.
And things that I've said, supposedly.
Like Double Dare. Like, I think I remember I saw Mark Summers, and I'm like, oh, I remember that one episode of Double Dare where, like, someone was so excited after finding the flag, they got a little gunk on him, and he looked freaked out. And I thought that was weird then. Like, there was, like, they had like, an obstacle in Double Dare where it was a nose, and you had to go through the synapse.
Oh, yeah, you had to pick up all the shit out of the nose.
It was, like, 30 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, and the guy pulled out the fucking flag, and yeah! And he threw his arms up, and, like, some of the gunk got on him, and he looked visibly dismayed. And this was before any of that OCD shit, before you ever heard about him, going with a fine-tooth comb.
It wasn't brand new. I'm sure there's always people.
I'm saying before it came out about him, and they had stories of him going with a fine tooth comb, straightening out all the tassels on his rug and shit. Like, he hosts that show where it's like, you know, how foods are made and shit. And he's always in that one booth in a set where no one is by. And there's like everything's perfect. And it's like, this is the only way he can host TV now. He has to be in like his.
So maybe that's what ruined it for him.
The Double Dare.
Getting the booger snots on him.
I mean,
you actually saw the moment he became OCD.
I think he was before that, and he just really needed to work. He's like, fuck, I got to be with all these fucking people. And then they're like, you know what? I know you get this OCD thing. Double Dare's kind of losing heat. We're going to do Family Double Dare. And now it's going to be teams of four. And there's going to be four disgusting people jumping around and getting slime on you and hugging you. And it'll be great when there's fucking green handprints all over your fucking perfectly ironed suit. The dumb memories I have where he... Okay, here's another one. I don't know why I remember this. We're talking about Double Dare. I remember they had a celebrity episode of Double Dare where David Faustino from Married with Children was on.
Actually, I think I remember that one too.
And he asked about the dog, and he called it. He didn't call it Buck. He like fucked up the dog's name, and he called the dog Bud. He's like, oh yeah, and the dog Bud. He's like, no. Buck is the dog. I just remember that, and David Faustino was very disappointed. He was very disappointed.
You think you're catching on, you're getting, you know, well known, and some guy tries to like talk about your show, and he just completely fucks it up.
I think that was before his rap career too. His terrible, yeah, awful.
Nothing now could possibly disappoint David Faustino. like, there's nothing in the world that could disappoint him right now. The guy is still 5'3". He never grew. From season one, when he was seven, he is the same height now as he was then.
You think he's a miserable guy? I think have to be pretty happy.
No, I think he's a miserable motherfucker because he peaked out. His life peaked before he was a teenager.
But I think that show's come around like more than once of being like, oh my God, Married with Children. I remember that. I love that show. Like, I think that's actually come back at least a couple times, that feeling, that consensus, such that, like, dumb broads would approach and probably like, oh my God, it's Bud from Married with Children.
Oh, he probably got some action from it, but you still peak. It's got to be a little bit weird.
I guess.
When everything from the rest of your life forward is like, okay, let's face it, most of us peak somewhere in our teenage years or maybe shortly thereafter, and everything else after that is downhill. But he peaked high and early, and now he's like kind of like right around our level.
You know what? He was actually on an episode of Entourage. That's like the ultimate sign of like, well, I've got nothing else going on, so I guess I'll take the ranks of Ralph Macchio and and Pauly Shore or whoever else. Bob Saget. And just go on there and be the ironic, used to be famous guy that shows up there, hangs out with Vince. I don't know. I don't know. I would think that you'd have no choice but to be happy. But yeah, I guess he probably had bigger dreams with his career. He obviously wanted to be a rapper. He wanted to
Grandmaster B.
But he had a different rap name that I don't remember. But I think it was like Lil B or Lil Pusha or something like something Lil. I think he was a Lil rapper. David Faustino.
I just did the same thing. David Faustino rap name. His D Lil. His rap name is D Lil. What All the right. fuck does that mean?
Well, let's hear a little bit of his rap. Why don't we listen to some D Lil? Oh, he's got a hoodie on. He's looking pensive. Not in service. Oh, no. Oh, he's wearing the Grandmaster B hat. Oh, God, is this bad. Oh, his album name was Ode. Oh, Jesus Christ, they have him next to the subway tile. He is literally six subway tiles high. You know I just begun. I come with peace, I come with dollars, not the gun. And when it comes to trouble with my mind, I overcome. The oh, God, is this hideous. You know I'm not the one. And when it comes to respect, yeah, give me some. Okay, yeah, give me some. No, sorry. Sorry, you know what? I'm with you. David Faustino is a miserable and he is consistently near suicide. He's not only miserable, he is suicidal on a daily basis.
Just every day he wakes up, and it's all he can do to avoid killing himself.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Christina Applegate cut her tits off because of cancer, and she is still famous.
She's happier than David Faustino, who still has a penis, supposedly.
He's going
to
actually...
She had to wake up one day... realized that she had to cut her tits off because she had cancer and was going to die.
She had potential
her
for
life,
it. She had potential
her,
for it.
Yeah, she didn't even have it. But her life is still vastly superior to David Faustino's.
I was reading Amanda's magazine on the shitter. They still have a gossip column like that mentioned her. She's like, oh, she's expecting a child. Like, she's still someone on their fucking radar. They would never, like, if David Faustino showed up with, like, fucking, I don't know, what's like, the teen star of the day? Like, Selena Gomez? Like, if he dated her, that would be the only way he would be in fucking in the rags again. It's not like, no. Oh, like, TMZ would never say, oh, we spotted David Faustino at a fucking Sizzler. No. Not gonna happen. I don't know. Why don't we wrap this shit up? Again, I really appreciate everybody listening to the DJ Newstyle Show. Continue to do so week in and week out on HearUsTalk.com. HearUsTalk.com is entertaining talk radio broadcast on the fucking internet, where we find things like Meatloaf, the Computer Blue, the song I'm gonna have to play, and David Faustino's rap. Thank you for tuning in. Best in Show, Thursday nights, 9 to 11. The Awful Hour, theawfulhour.com. And Monday nights, Hate Us Talk. That's hateustalk.com. They start at 9, and you're going to get a twofer. Sean, do you have anything you would like to say?
Yes, Miss, every week. And one of these weeks, I'm actually going to have something.
You just did.
But not this week.
Okay.
See you.
Good night. Eat my shit. And suck my dick! The Funky Monkeys is coming! Ho ass bitches!
Know that the pain a woman goes through when they do wrong, they feel the pain and maybe they won't do it no more. So all you men gonna be pregnant with babies. God bless you. And that's gonna be 2009, 2010, then the rat coming to the world.
You say Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Oh yeah.
Oklahoma, Texas, New York, Philadelphia, around the world. It's gonna be a big nut bus. A purple nut. And the purple pumpkin eaters is coming to eat all you motherfuckers, the real monsters.
And the purple haze.
No, we're not smoking no purple haze. We eating y'all purple haze, motherfucker. And we eating y'all cocaine rock smokers. Cause it's a new rock coming to town. Purple rock cocaine. And it's not for sale. And it's taking y'all motherfucking dope smokers to the moon. Catch our vapors, you bitches. And suck our dick. On camera. Woo! Woo! The funky monkeys is coming. Eat our shit and suck our dick, you hoe ass bitches.
Hell yeah.